One more?
That's all right.
I have one if you want one more.
We can put on that, huh?
Thank you, honey.
I don't know, you know, I have no idea why the photographers and all aren't in here, you know, for... I went to Easy Akins the other day with Tom Van Sisson, and while we sat there, they filmed Easy Akins. They passed right by us, and all they looked at, took pictures of, was the food. Arnie, you should have been there. They would have certainly wanted to film you, Arnie. I think it was Channel 9, but I never did get to figure out because they didn't. They ignored me. I guess, yes, Patty, you should have been there. They would have wanted to get you in there. It was a Jewish holiday, and that you should have been there to represent the Irish, Patty. And the food was so beautiful. Wow. I love Easy Akins. Charlene ought to be here pretty soon from Easy Akins. And yes, Rachel, I want make sure she gets to meet Charlene, okay? Everybody, are you feeling love? Are you feeling joy?
Yes.
That's love, isn't it? That means you're feeling God. God is love. God is joy. What a tremendous opportunity we have on this earth plane. And I just thoroughly enjoy it. And I enjoy sitting here and hearing the wonderful people, beautiful people that come here and share their thoughts with us. No one here on this platform claims to be a great speaker, I got to tell you that. But we talk from our hearts. And a good many of you already know this, the young man that's going to be sharing his thoughts with us tonight. And I've known him for a long time. He disappeared quite a while out of my life. I don't know what he was doing. I better not ask. I won't ask him. Disappeared a long time out of your life too, Patty. But I had the feeling he likes us because he came back. And he's very learned in God and God's ways. And that's our Dan Hare.
My water. So when I gotta get my little, these are my notes on my iPhone. My printer doesn't work, so I'm at a disadvantage. Hopefully, I won't even need them. So when I,
Dad, I had a question this last week. We had Palm Sunday. Everybody tells me that Jesus came to Jerusalem on a donkey and nothing more. I can't find out what time or anything of that nature. You're the person to ask.
Oh, and I don't know. I have no clue.
What is this about?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not even thinking in that mode. I'm sorry. But let me ponder it afterwards. And I'll...
Okay, you've taught me most of what I know.
So. Oh, that's scary. I was going to talk about this verse when I first got this date to speak. And it says, it's a proverb that says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And the idea was that your heart is the seat of your emotions. And so if you guard it, if you put it behind bars and you really protect your emotional state, that the rivers, the issues of life, that you'll kind of be able to navigate better. And then the next night was the forum, and Charlene was speaking, and she was talking about how experiencing love that was beautiful and messy and crazy, and all the humanity of the emotions of life. And so I decided that. You know, in my brain, I was going back and forth. And then a few days later, I got a reading on my astrology chart. And I guess I have this Virgo thing going on. And I guess my planets are on the left side or the right side. And the the challenge for me is to get out of my head and into my heart. And I thought to myself, I better hold off on that little talk because I got a lot to learn. I got a lot to learn. And so I thought to myself, what is it that in my own journey in this pathway, this spiritual pathway, would maybe be helpful? And I started to think to myself, what are the things, if you could encapsulate, that hinder our spiritual growth in real simple terms? And one of the topics I've talked about, you know, it's a theme of mine for the last 10 years, is that oftentimes we think about the narrative of other people's opinion about our lives, what other people think. And that impedes our spiritual growth. Because of what somebody else thinks that you're not enough, or the TV and, you know, the soap operas and all this sort of stuff, that there's this sense and this message that if you don't have the money and all the accoutrements, or if you, even in the spiritual world, if you don't have the right stuff, that you're just not enough. So there's a narrative that is continually kind of tearing us down depending on who you listen to. And so I've talked a lot about this idea of you only have to worry about one narrative, and it's the narrative that God has about you. And then I think the other impediment, as it were, to our spiritual growth is this idea of addictions. And I think one is related to the other, because if you think about it, when you feel like you're not enough, you want to kind of fill the bucket. And if you think you got a hole in the bucket, you keep trying to fill it, and you're looking for a feeling. And that's where all the isms come in, whether it be alcoholism, it gives you a feeling, or drugs, or sex, or pornography, or shopping, or eating. It gives you a feeling. We're looking for a feeling. And so I started to think to myself, I'm really working at this spiritual thing. I really want to get out of my head into my heart. And short of a long story, I was praying one night. It was about midnight, and I decided to really pray from the heart. And I had like 10 people that came to my heart and mind. And rather than say, "Okay, God, you know, bless so and so, and you know, this is a problem," and blah blah blah, you know, that kind of prayer, I really took time and I did a lot of breathing and I pondered, and it's like I brought them into the room with me, like I was having a conversation. And I was feeling what their life was. And I was feeling in my feeling side of, you know, what they, like what their dreams and their desires were. And then I was able to pray in kind of this really, really a heartfelt sort of a way. And I felt this very cool kind of a peace. And I remember going to, you know, laying there, and it's like 1:30 in the morning, and I'm falling, drifting off to sleep. And I said, "God, I really want to get to that place of whatever that word is, that enlightenment and this and that and the other thing." And so I was thinking about the message tonight, and the verse came to me in Ephesians 1:3, and it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Then it goes on in that chapter to talk about this incredible thing that happened, that God chose us before the foundation of the world. He redeemed us by his very own blood, the ultimate act of love, and rising from the dead, which I guess does tie into Passover. Okay, there is a tie-in. I didn't even think about that. I'm not a big holiday person, so this is good. And that he's got a future inheritance as shown to us with the Paraclete, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that when we open our arms and our hearts to Jesus the Christ and to the heavenly realms, that there's something that happens. There's an alchemy that happens. And the thing that's very, very interesting to me is that Paul didn't say, "God, please bless us." He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And the reality is, God's given us everything right now in this moment. So I'm falling off asleep, and I shared this on Tuesday night a couple of weeks ago. Right, I think it was 2:33 in the morning, I heard this loud voice. It wasn't a whisper, it was, come in! And I literally got up. I was laying down, and I jumped up. And I went, wait, there's somebody out there. And thought maybe it was my handyman who comes early, 5:30 in the morning sometimes. He's an old friend, and I want to strangle him sometimes. But I thought, okay, maybe it's him. And then I heard, come in! And I went, wait. I'm inside. Come in. And then I'm realizing it's 2:33 in the morning. It's really, really early. It's the middle of the night. People don't say come in when you're inside the house. And I started to realize that it was the voice of God saying, Dan, come in. You're there. The door is open. Quit striving. All the angst and all this, I got to do better. I have to do something to get there. I've got to, pray harder. I've got to, all this stuff. And the message was, come in. And I'm amazed as I think about it, even as somebody that studied the Bible over the years, how easy it is to get caught up in this cycle of thinking that you don't have what you need. Because we have everything we need in our lives in the moment. We lack nothing. Paul says to Timothy in one of his books, he says, God's given us everything we need to live a life of godliness, to live a life that allows us to be all that he wants us to be. Our human potential, we've got it. It's in our bank account. And so, man, I didn't go to sleep for a couple hours after that, and then I dozed for an hour, and it was an amazing experience. But it kind of reminds me of this, in the biblical context, of John in the book of Revelations, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he says, if any man hears my voice and opens the door, and I will come in and dine with him and fellowship with him. Knocking on the door. So in the one metaphor from the experience I had, it was, come in. Come on. Come in. And then from the writings of John, it was, hey, I'm knocking on the door. And then on the other hand, you got these voices of negativity that are saying to you, you're not quite enough, you're not this, you're not that. And then dangling these other things around you that capture your attention and your focus. And so rather than going inward to find that place of peace, to find that place of bliss. And we use all these terms and all of these labels for this stuff. But rather than looking inside, we run around half our lives, some of us. Now, I know maybe it's just me and maybe one other in this room, but I think one person in this room would relate to this. And maybe two. Maybe all of you except for one. I'm not sure. But we all have this challenge because of the world system that we live in. In Romans 12:1, a very interesting verse, it says, or 12:2, it says, don't be conformed to the present system of thought, the world system. It's a way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I have to tell you that of all the years of study, in my particular faith tradition, growing up, not even growing up, but in my middle years, there was so much about head knowledge. There was so much of, well, you know, memorize this verse and this story and have the right answer and be able to, you know, quote chapter and verse. That was some big deal. You know, like you're more spiritual if you could have chapter and verse. And I find it as I get older, and I'm only 39, but as I get older and change, that you guys, it's really the opposite. It's about the ability to still one's mind. It's about the ability not to learn and pack up a bunch of knowledge. I got a lot of that. And I'm that head kind of guy. It's all this head thing. But it's about getting to that stillness place. And rather than learning, listening. Because the direct voice of God is far more powerful than any ancient scriptures, and they're valuable. Everybody holds dear their scriptures. But that doesn't compare with the reality of hearing that still voice, or in my case, come in! It was like, and it was loud, and it was just, I think, and I get, it brings me back to that moment. So at the end of the day, I think what I want to say to you is that every one of you guys have everything you need in life. And it's about keeping your eyes open and being vigilant and looking and listening. It's almost like going through the jungle and being totally alive. You know, your adrenaline's going, and it's like this anticipation of, okay, God, what is it? I'm in this place. This is where I need to go. And rather than talking about the things that you need and that you don't have, you just reinforce the things that you need and don't have. Rather, get in that still, quiet place and visualize exactly what it is you want to create. And be very specific. If it's a job, be very, very clear on it. I want this job, list it. And then imagine yourself what it looks like. And maybe it's going to an office, or maybe it's working from home. And experience it and say, God, thank you for this job, and I'm looking for it. And then as you experience it, your energy will attract to that job. So rather than talking about what you don't have, which reinforces what you don't have, think about all the blessings that you do have. And I'll close with this. I've shared this before, but I love the metaphor. A guy gets up to the pearly gates, and St. Peter says, okay, yeah, come on in, and all that sort of stuff. And they're walking down the streets of gold, as it were. And he said, well, this is he's a golfer. That's the golf course for you guys that want to, you know, play nine, and this is a good 18-course hole, or whatever, heaven. And then there's a kind of a warehouse-looking thing. He says, what's that over there? And Peter says, nah, you don't want to see it. He says, and over here is the clubhouse and so on and so forth. No, what's over here? I want to, you don't want to, please. I want to know what that building is. He says, okay, come on. And they walk in there, and it's kind of like a Costco, and there's this, everything you can imagine, and there's these rows and rows and rows with names on them. And there's all the stuff on these shelves, symbolic. And he goes up and down the shelves, and he says, okay, Dan D., Dan O'Hare. Okay, this is your section. And it's filled with all this stuff. What's this? He said, well, that's all the stuff that I had for you, but you just didn't ask. It was waiting there. And you were worried about what you didn't have, and you just didn't see it. And so I just want to encourage you to go to that place within, listen to the still voice within, resonate with what you have, and know that your God, that the Spirit of the living God, who is all-powerful, can create in an instant what you need. So thank Him in advance for the things that you're desiring. visualize it already done. And then, don't be lazy, be vigilant. You got to go out and you got to look for the opportunities. Educate yourself, all those sort of things. You don't get away with not the work. A lot of people want to be something or do something and they don't want to do the work, but they want to do it in a certain way. And you got to do it where you visualize it, you learn, but you're vigilant in the jungle and looking for every opportunity where you're feeling fully alive. And just watch what God opens up to you when you live in that space. Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Did you enjoy that as much as I did? I couldn't get the grin off my face. Dan came and kind of fit in just a little bit years ago and even tried a class night or two, didn't you?
Well, the first year I did two classes.
Then they didn't suit him, really. Then he was gone so many years that he's coming back now, and I kind of think he's going to be staying. I think so. He acts like it anyway. And I tell about last night? This was big last night. Who was there last night? Okay, back me up and help me out. All right, so, okay, what? About AW, I guess. John the Baptist came. And you know who he came to? Dan. Dan, I don't think you could, in the wildest dreams, deny that. And yet that is not the way he was raised or the way he really, because he went to college to study the Bible. And that's really not what he was taught in college, was it, Dan?
It's kind of a different focus, yeah.
But I don't think you can deny that last night. And David, what do you say? You were in it too, weren't you?
I was in that circle, and I had that experience.
Was that tremendous? Now, it wasn't maybe not just John the Baptist, or, but the essence... Are you with me on that? We're like all strings connected. Hi, you two. Hi, kids. We're all like strings connected to the source. And that was a John the Baptist's essence, the string. So what that would tell me, there's an awful lot about you, Dan, that would be like John the Baptist. You know the stories about him. See how they apply to you. I believe you'll find they fit. Like attracts like. Now, if you've never been in one of those circles, you're probably going to be like Dan was in the beginning, going, this is really kind of weird. Dan, you didn't say that to me, but I heard it. I heard it through the back of his head instead of the front. There is no death. You're dead right now as you'll ever be. You're also alive right now, as you'll ever be. And you're either living in the flesh or you're living free. Leslie, I think it's been proven to you, Angel.
Yes, you sure have.
And you, Mary. The two men that they love so much had to leave the body. But these two ladies know that those men are fine and that they're still with them. Judy Smith, what do you say? The man you love will love you forever, and you'll love him forever, but he had to leave the body. Just like John the Baptist had to leave the body. What are you going to tell me, David?
Really? Well, it was pretty tremendous, and he was in good company, no doubt. We're talking Christ's spirit also there.
And the other disciples all around. It's as though people are talking to somebody way out there somewhere. Right here. God is right here. God is love. And love, part of you, will never die. So why collect anything else? Dan, you've really fired me up. Your talk was tremendous. the Bible is absolutely right. It's just the interpretation that can kind of throw us off track a little. The interpretation. Sometimes the Bible is used to control others. It's not, you're not to be controlled. You're the only one that should ever control you. You connected to the source. Well, why did I get carried away? It's not my time to up here talk. Who's here? It's his fault. Who is here for the first time?